All right, I am here today with the one, the only, Christy Thomas. Christy, who are you? Why are we talking?
Well, that is a good question. Why did you invite me? Just kidding. Well, we are talking, I believe, because we are going to talk about family discipleship today. And that is something that I have loved to talk about for a long time, ever since my very first children's ministry conference, where I went and thought I was going to be equipped for children's ministry. And I went and they were like, family ministry. And I went, what? And it was a bit of a shock, but I've fallen in love with it and with its power and just with what God is doing in families. So just, you know, practically, I have three kids. My oldest is 15. My youngest is 10. They're all boys. My middle one just turned 13. Probably should tell you his age too, so he doesn't have that middle child syndrome.
Middle child syndrome. Yeah, he's going to get left out.
And I worked in children's ministry as the director for on and off for about 12 years. And it was mostly on. It's just that here in Canada, you get a year off when you have a baby. So it was like it started at from when it started to when it ended, it was 12 years. But there was some, you know, 4 months to a year break, long breaks in there, which was quite nice. And then I've written some books on, you know, to help families disciple their kids, and just had a brand new book come out that is like specifically on family discipleship. So this is my first book for adults, which I gotta say was published with fear
so
and trembling.
Different. So yeah. Different. Yes.
I know. But that's about enough about me, because I am here now also with the one and only Amber Pike. So tell me about you, Amber.
So I am a mama of 2, 13, and 7, boy and girl. So I'm not just a boy mom. No middle kid to leave out. But we homeschool. And I have been serving in churches for about 20 years as children's minister or director of family ministry. In the midst of that, I got the family ministry bug pretty early on at a D6 conference back early on. I'm like, oh, this is what I should be doing. And it wasn't really until this last year, as I transitioned out of full-time church staff to now working with Renew Nation, a ministry-based organization, that I realized that I hadn't been doing family ministry as well as it should be. So my definition of family ministry changed. I was still doing right things, but not enough. I didn't do all of family ministry. So that's been an exciting thing. Like you, I've got several books, speak at conference, write books, magazine articles, just all the things to either equip children or to equip mom and dad. So that's why we get to hang out, because we like talking children and family discipleship.
Exactly. So you said something there that I thought we should clarify, because we use the phrase family discipleship and we use the phrase family ministry. So what would you say is the difference between the two?
So I think family ministry would be like your church name for the churches that won a title or program. You know, I was the director of family ministry. But what family ministry is actually, it should be family discipleship. It's not a program. So you don't come into the church and run family ministry by adding in extra programs. It's a whole mindset. And so family discipleship is what it's about, because we know if they've listened to you, if they've listened to me, mom and dad, you're the ones commanded to lead. Deuteronomy 4:6-9. Impress these on your children. Grandparents, you are given the command as well. We leave grandparents out. That's one thing I've learned at Renew Nation. We don't talk about grandparents as much. The word grandparent or grandkid, not in the Bible. Neither is cell phone, dinosaur, laptop, all those cool things. But it's talked about, you're commanded to teach your children and your children's children. Those are your grandkids. So moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, you have the command to disciple your kids, to pass on your faith, to teach them God's laws about him, the wonderful things that he's done. And that's family discipleship. So if we're programming it, family ministry is making sure that family discipleship is happening.
That's kind of what I was thinking too. Excellent description. Good job. Now I don't have to say anything.
Right. We're done. We can just stop. Everybody knows what we're doing.
The family ministry is like the way that in a church you and get people to do family discipleship.
Yeah.
Equip them.
Yeah. So let's get into the practical, because I too have a copy. And man, I love so much of this, but let's kind of start the foundation. Maybe we've got some people watching that don't understand the what and the how of family discipleship. So what would you say to those parents? Like, why should mom and dad be discipling their kids? And like, what does that mean?
That's a good question. Okay, so I'm going to first start with some math. And I,
oh, the gosh, reason I'm so bad at math.
Okay, this is going to be easy math. Okay, so back in 2007, there was this Lifeway study that was done, and it showed this trend that is kind of continuing today. And I'm sure you've heard these numbers bandied about. 2/3 of all the children in the church turn away from God when they become adults. That was kind of the general takeaway from that. So who they had surveyed was any teenager who had gone to church for at least a year, kind of during their teenage life, any teenager. So we're saying, you know, about a 33% retention rate there. So if you look at any teenager who's gone to church for at least a year over their teenagerhood, once they become young adults, you get about 33% of them that remain Christians. But then there was another study that was done by the National Study of Youth and Religion.
It's a mouthful.
And they surveyed only families where parents were actively discipling their kids. So that just means they were like, you know, it could mean anything, right? They were walking the walk. They were talking the talk. They were trying to have faith conversations in their family of some sort. And out of those families, 82% of their young adults.
I'm not good at math, but that's better math.
That's way better math, isn't it? And so we think, oh my goodness, only one of my three children is going to remain a Christian. But guess what? You can drastically increase those odds. I mean, just looking at statistics, just by trying to do something. And it's going to look different in every family. And so I think you would ask, like, what is family discipleship? Mm-hmm. I think it's really just this process of walking alongside your kids in their faith, and it not just like hucking a book at them or not just taking them to church, but actually having some of those conversations at home. And it is going to look different in different families based on your passions and your goals and who your kids are and the relationship that you have and their time of life. Like, all those things make it look a little bit different, but it's just this process of walking alongside. That's what discipling is, right? When you're walking alongside someone to help them grow in their faith. So it's just, we're doing it in our family, which is the best place to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love, so I kind of describe it. There's two types of discipleship. There's intentional discipleship, and then there's the unintentional discipleship. And you need both.
Yeah.
But I think you have to get the unintentional discipleship first. Like, you're talking, you're walking the walk, you're talking the talk. Because yeah, I can take my kids to church, but if I'm not living it at home, man, those are those 66 repeating percent that have walked away, because it was just, well, we go to church, but that's it. That's where religion and faith begins and ends. So we have to be living it. It has to be part of us. There's, you know, all those great pictures online of, you know, well, mom and dad, you can't pass on a faith you don't have, all that stuff. But yeah, that's true. If you're not living it and walking it, you've got nothing to pass on.
Yeah. And that reminds me of that beginning of that Deuteronomy 6 passage that we often talk about. And I'm going to butcher it because I'm not good at memory recall on command. But, you know, where it says, like, okay, let's start from the beginning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and impress it on your children. Mm-hmm. So first you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and then you're going to impress it on your children. You can't impress it on your children if you're being all fake about it, because it's not something that you actually,
they will smell out that fake.
Oh yeah. And that's what those 66% of kids are doing. And you know, there's still that 18%, like from that other stat that I gave you, there are still children who are going to turn away because, you know, for whatever reason, God is a perfect parent and he still has children turning away from him. So you could be the best parent in the world and still your children have to, you know, have their own choice in that matter. But for the most part, if we're walking the walk, like you said, then our kids are going to see that it actually does make a difference in our daily life.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So you talk about, in the title, habits. So let's switch. Cause I'm going to assume that our friends watching, they can figure out what we mean by, you know, the unintentional, by living out your faith. So I don't think we need to talk about that. So let's shift to this intentional discipleship and what that looks like. So you talk about faith habits. Mm-hmm. Explain this concept to us.
Okay, so a habit is something that is like ingrained in your brain. Like if you bike down a trail every day for your entire life, there's going to be a rut in that trail, right? If you and 50 other people are using that exact same trail every day, there's going to be a rut, and it's actually going to be kind of hard to get out of. So that's what happens in our brains. If you actually look at like habit science, those ruts are happening in our brain where your brain starts something, it has this cue, and then your body's like, oh, I got to do this exact thing. And then you get a reward at the end. And that is how our brains are designed to work. Actually, God designed our brains to work like that because it frees up our brains for higher mental functions. So all these things that we want to do regularly, they become habits for us. You know, when I get up, I put clothes on, right? That's a habit. That's a really good habit.
Like
And so I don't have to
how many
think.
of us think about the steps in the shower? It's just
No,
routine. We
exactly.
do it until we're distracted. And then the other day I put face wash in my hair and I'm like, oh, that wasn't supposed to go there.
As you're just going, right? Or where you're
I was
driving
just
and
going and I rub it in my hair and I'm like, oh,
well, your hair looks great anyway.
wasn't today, but thanks.
Yeah. So the same thing happens with our spiritual habits. Our habits really define who we are. So let's say that you have this habit of praying before bed with your children. And so you start that when they're tiny, teeny tiny. And it's just something that, you know, they lay down in bed, you kneel down aside from their bed, and you open in prayer and you're just praying with them. Well, guess what happens? That becomes part of who they are. So then when they're adults, they're going to go to sleep and most likely they're going to think, oh, I need to pray now because this is the time of day when we pray. That habit is going to be activated. It's like that rut in that brain. They lay down in bed and they're sliding into that rut and they're like, oh, let's pray now. So it becomes kind of who you are. But our habits also really help us as parents do these intentional discipleship things without having to think so hard about them all the time. Because I was in children's ministry, and you may resonate with this, I at first thought, oh, I have to do these like big Bible stories with my kids all the time, or I need like the hands-on object lesson, and nothing wrong with those things, but I don't have time for hands-on object lessons all the
You
time.
don't want to gather 72 items and go to like four different stores to find like the rarest, weirdest stuff to do your Bible lessons at home?
But there's this one time I was reading this Focus on the Family Bedtime Blessing book with one of my kids, and it said, go pick a flower and bring one in. And I'm like, man, I live in Western Canada and it is January. There is no way on earth I am going to find a flower outside. So yeah, anyway, so the little habits, that those are the things that we can do, and it reminds us that we can disciple our kids, that we don't have to know it all, we don't have to do it all, we don't have to go and find a flower in the middle of January in Western Canada where it's snowy for 6 months. They just help us know that we can disciple our kids without having to know it all or do it all. We just start with these little things that, and what I like to think of these little habits is like taking our child's chin and just pointing it to Jesus, you know, 30 seconds at a time. Okay, but let's just point to Jesus. And eventually we come kind of just becomes the natural bent of their faces.
Yeah. I think that's when so many parents they quit, you know, when they're trying to start with this intentional discipleship and they give up because they pull the book. There's so many books on the market that just great books, but they're not realistic. Because I do not want to have to gather 17 items. I do not want to have to go to the store or like I've seen some where you need to go to like an international market to find this like really weird ingredient to make something. I'm like, no, if it's not at my house, I'm not going to do it. And so it gets frustrating or discouraging when you're having to do all of this prep that you probably don't have time for, or it's this very long or awkward or just not a good fit for you, and then it's just we give up.
Yeah, and I like what you said about it not being a good fit for you, because I know that you have the recipe devotional, which is really cool. And I've seen a couple of things kind of similar to that, or you know, and that's not to say you can't use recipe devotionals and object lesson things like that. If that is something you're like, I am super excited about this, and we're gonna do this every Saturday evening, and we're gonna cook a meal together, then you do that. And you know, if that's gonna point you to Christ and you're excited about that, you should absolutely do that. Don't feel like you are limited. And what I always try to say is like, do what God wants you to do.
Do what fits and feels right. And that is producing the fruit of growth in your family. So as the creator of the Family Cookbook Devotional, this is not something that we use all the time. That was more
every day.
I know, we don't, because as a mom, you know, honestly, it takes longer for you to get dinner on the table if you have hands helping. But so I love the concept of my book. Other than making my two children, it's the coolest thing I've ever done, because I saw it work in families, because it's not just another to do. I think that's another mistake in, you know, family discipleship, is we give to do's, and it's that, well, you must do this thing that I'm sending home because it's good for you. And if it doesn't, if it feels like a chore, no one wants to do it. So with this, it's a recipe that you're making something delicious. I'm Baptist. We love food. So it was a win at my church.
Yep.
And you're creating an experience together because we want to spend time with our kids and do fun things. And it was very simple stuff. You did not need to go to like 18 stores. You likely had it in your pantry. And then you would get in God's word together. It was short. It was sweet. You know, the whole thing, the devotion part of it was probably 10 minutes max. Mm-hmm. And so it's good. And then I would use it kind of like as a supplement or a fun, you know, a fun activity, but that's not the day to day, because that's a little more time intensive.
And you said something about people feeling like I have to, and I feel like we often see this kind of stuff on social media, and it's not necessarily like, you know, with the cookbook devotional, but I've seen people are like, oh, you have to do your daily devotions in front of your children. And if you're not doing your daily devotions,
you're a horrible Christian and a terrible parent.
I know. Yes. And I'm like, well, what if I just like really feel like a lot of life from doing it in my room behind the door before my kids get up in the morning?
Yeah.
So that therefore makes me a terrible parent. And I think back to my parents, and yes, there was a time, like they were pretty private about their faith. And there was a time when I was like, are you a Christian? But then, you know, I would spy my mom kneeling beside her bed, right? Because she wasn't doing her devotions in front of me, but she would be kneeling in front of her bed one time when I, you know, walked past to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Or I would find my dad's, he had this like prayer book for the nations, and I would find it downstairs in the spare room, you know, with like little flags in it. Like, oh, so obviously he's praying for the nations. Or I would be awake late at night and I would hear my dad praying out loud as in his bed. Mm-hmm. So there were not a lot of those moments. It wasn't all the time, but it was enough for me to realize, okay, this is actually something that my parents do. So you don't have to be doing those things all the time in order for your kids to know that you are, you know, following Christ intentionally and walking the walk, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So what's some stuff that your family does habit-wise that is a good fit for you?
Well, we always do something at bedtime. So with my kids, even with my 15-year-old, it's getting a little bit tricky now because he goes to bed after me. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that has really stuck is just praying a biblical blessing over my kids. So we started that when he was a baby, and have continued it now. And I think we'll continue to do it. So even when we don't really have time for a good night, I will, you know, he'll be at the computer or something and I'll give him a hug and say, may the Lord bless you and keep you, may make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, may turn his face toward you and give you peace. And so that's just something that kind of is kind of almost our little baseline that we definitely keep doing no matter how busy we are. And sometimes I've even done that over the phone with my kids when they were younger, when I was away from them. You know, and with the 13-year-old at night, the faith habit right now is me, hey, did you remember to read something in the Bible tonight?
See, I thought you're going to be like, hey, did you remember to brush your teeth? Did you remember to shower? I thought that was going to come.
And then with the youngest one, I'm reading the Action Bible with him. And then normally during the school year, we're doing something in the mornings together where we're reading the Bible together, memorizing scripture, we're praying together. That kind of does fall off in the summer. And I've learned to kind of accept that.
It's crazy. Even with the best of intentions, it gets crazy.
I know. And you know what? I've come to realize it's okay. Like, God is not going to forsake me because we didn't.
Because you took the summer breakfast off.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So, you know, we're still doing the things in front of them and, you know, we have those conversations and anyway, so there was a few years where I was really kicking myself for that, but then I'm realizing it's okay. There are seasons and, that's just the way it is. I would say that there was, you know, there are other things that those are kind of the really like, almost like just the normal things, I guess, that you would hear. Okay. We read the Bible, we memorize scripture, we do something with our kids before bed. So those are the ones that have worked for us. But I got to tell you that reading the Bible in the morning was a habit that I really struggled to start. And I talk about it in the book, is how hard it was for me to actually get that going in the morning. And so you look back now, you're like 10 years, well, probably not 10 years later, like 7 or 8 years later, you're like, wow, you know, it seems so easy for you to have like this 20 minute Bible reading and prayer time together. But that was a beast. It was really hard for me to get started. And I had to do it the little habits way by reading, you know, when my kids were little, and they were still in public school. And so, you know, little habits are really good for when you're in public school. And you're racing in the morning, and I would, you know, all the kids would be locked in at the table eating their breakfast. And that was the time that I always wanted to do morning devotions with them. But then I would be like, oh, there's that dishwasher over there that really needs to be emptied. Or finally they're sitting still and I could sweep under their chairs. So I would find myself constantly distracted. So what worked for me was I had a copy of Sally Lloyd-Jones' book. It's called Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing. And they're really short. They're like 100 words long. It would take maybe a minute to read. And each one was accompanied by a really interesting picture. And so I left that on the table. And then as soon as I sat down to eat, I would pick that up. I would read it. And because it was so short and interesting, I didn't procrastinate on it anymore, because I wasn't trying to do something so big and overwhelming, because it was just so easy. I was like, well, it's only going to take me a minute. Might as well. And then I can go do the dishwasher. So because it was really tiny, I was able to actually consistently get it into my life. And then over the years, it's grown into something bigger.
I love that. I love that.
I'd love to know how that looks in your family. What faith habits does your family have?
So we definitely were the very unintentional discipleship primarily, to where we don't even realize what we're doing. I'm old school CD player in the kitchen, mounted under the cabinet.
And oh, I have one of those too.
It's like starting to go out. The buttons don't always work.
No, mine too.
Do we still make these? But I always, if I'm in the kitchen, I have music on. And it's either show tunes or it's Jesus music, mostly Jesus music, occasionally show tunes. And my 7-year-old picks up on it. So we did about a year and a half ago, she went to her first concert with me and my mom. We go to all the concerts. And so she went to a Phil Wickham concert with us. Ooh. And yeah, it was just so sweet, because she knew the songs. Not because I sat her down and said, okay, I want you to learn the songs because we're going to go to this concert. You know, she was going because she wanted like party hair. So we crimped her hair, and, you know, she felt like big stuff getting to go out to a late night concert, you know, like 7:30 for a then like a 5-year-old. Right. Oh, yeah. She felt like big stuff, but then just seeing how much of that she had caught that was not intentional at all. I put the music on because I like it.
You turned it on. That's the little habit there. You have a habit of turning on music in the kitchen.
And she's absorbing. I've seen so many instances of her absorbing this stuff. You know, I was on the porch one day and she's like, oh, that's our VBS song. Or, you know, that's from this. And the other day she was humming on the way that I got the new Jeremy Camp CD. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And she was humming it on the way to the car. On the way to church the other day. So she's picking up that. So we have a lot of that. We do lots of faith conversations. We're trying to impart life wisdom onto my 13-year-old. So there are a lot of nights where after dinner, little sis is doing whatever. And we're, you know, like we're talking about what a healthy marriage looks like. And it's nothing that we sit out and plan like, hello, husband, let's discuss this with the child tonight. It just happens.
Yeah.
So I think primarily that's just the life that we lead. But then with the intentional habits, we are a pray at mealtime family, which I was not as a kid. We did not pray out loud at meals. And so that's something that's a habit I had to start because I knew I wanted to, but it felt really weird. Like it felt so weird to pray out loud. I had a lifetime of not. But that's the norm. We're pray at bedtime. Little sis gets to pick the order of who prays or who prays. And then in the seasonal months, we always like November, December, both of them, we usually will, before we pray, we go around listing things we're thankful for. And they love that. So there's a lot of seasonal standards that we do as well, because, you know, themes, cool. So like we have the same Christmas stuff that we do every Christmas and, stuff like that. But then the newest thing that we've been doing, because I like checklists. I'm that visual, like the reward of checking something off.
Yeah.
So good. I love it.
You know what? It completes that habit in your brain. It's the reward you need.
I am the write something that I've already done on my to-do list so that I
I've
can
done that. 100%.
Yes.
Because it feels good.
It does. So I've been making bookmarks, themed scripture bookmarks for our family. We did a Lego event that I wrote at my church, and I made a Lego bookmark. I was talking about different names of God, names of Jesus specifically. And so it's a little checklist with, you know, short, simple verses, not chapters. And so we pull out the bookmark and we read the passage. We identify the names of Jesus, and then you get to mark it off. So that's been our newest daily ish. Cause you know, VBS week, we're not just telling y'all we're not, we're getting our Bible at church. But yep. I like this because it keeps on track. You don't lose where you're at, and then you get the, all right.
And when are you doing that?
We do that before bed. So it's okay. Just, you know, a quick little burst. Not like you, big brother, he stays up much later than little sis. But the bedtime routine, it's all there together as a family, even though she's the only one, much to her dismay, cool. Forced to go to bed. She's like, why can't I stay up? And I'm like, because I need a break. So you go to bed.
Exactly. I love that though. So did you have that, like some sort of bedtime routine before you started doing the bookmark?
We've always done prayers. But honestly, right. I think I'm kind of, I don't know, I might be ADHD when it comes to devotions and ones that I like, because I'll get started on one. I'll find something really cool. And then I'm like, or we fall off or whatever. We're doing pretty good. We got one, an animal themed one that we've been working on this summer. My son is a fact kid, a science kid. And so it's a lot of animal facts in there with it. And that's just kind of like midday. We'd started it at the very tail end of our homeschool year. So that's just kind of, it could be at the end of a late breakfast because they sleep late in the summer, or it's just, that's kind of a whenever. But yeah, usually Bible reading is at night. We tried it at dinner for a while. It didn't work. We would forget.
See, I like that. You're just like kind of playing around with it a little bit and then you're stacking it onto some other routine that you have. I feel like we don't have enough of that where we're like, okay, that didn't work. That doesn't mean that I'm broken or my family's broken. Yeah. We just need to try something else.
Yeah. Because I don't think there's enough people saying, hey, this is okay. Yeah. You know, how many people on social media, you know, the people who are saying buy my things or listen to me, how many of them are really saying like, let me tell you about my fails. Let me tell you
all
about
summer,
the fact.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, like let me talk about the fact that we've not done devotions all week. You know, like you don't get that authenticity. But yes, I will proudly tell you guys, if it doesn't work, that's okay. If you do stuff, I was this way in children's ministry. I would, in my early years before I started writing my own curriculum, I would start using a curriculum, and usually by about the fourth lesson in, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I gotta finish it because I paid for it. But man, this stinks. If it doesn't fit, you think it's going to be a good fit, and it doesn't, that's okay. You don't have to finish it. Find what works for you.
Maybe you'll come back to it later. Maybe it was just not the right age for you. So my son and I, we've been redoing the mother and son prayer journal, and we did it for like, you know, 10 or 12 days in a row. And then we found something else. And I was like, oh, I want to do this with you for a bit. And then we started reading the Action Bible. So now we're like three layers deep, because we're going to come back. Actually, I don't think we're going to come back to the middle thing because I forget what it was. We are going to come back to the Mother and Son prayer journal when we finish the Action Bible. So now we're just kind of like going in and we're going in and we're still going to come back.
I'm going to ask you a very personal question. How many books do you currently have started of personal reading?
Okay, well, I just this weekend finished three. Not because I started and finished three, but so I'm currently at a place where I only have one book. Not true. One book that I'm reading in my bedroom. I have one book that I'm reading in my bathroom, and I have one book that I'm listening to on audio. No, two, because I have a nonfiction and a fiction. Okay. And I just finished three books this weekend because I had a little bit of time away camping, and
you're like, I gotta finish some of them.
So I went from seven to four.
I'm the same way. I've got like six different books right now I'm in the middle of, and I'll just like pick this one up or that one.
Yeah. It's great. It is okay.
And that's fine to do that with devotions
too.
Yeah. It's fine to do that with devotions too, or even where you're reading in the Bible. You want to be up in Psalms for a while? Sure. Then go to wherever.
Yeah. So this is with my 15-year-old right now. Actually, this is not panning out exactly how I wanted it to pan out. I need to be more intentional about kind of coming back to it. But I was like, okay, what book are you going to be reading right now? And I'll read along with you. So we're reading through the book of Isaiah. And it's been about a week since we talked about it. But the plan was that we were going to read through a section and we were going to talk about it. But to be honest, he's reading through it a lot faster than I am. It's difficult to keep up.
Oh, so now you're at the stage your 15-year-old will keep you accountable.
I know. Well, it's because like he has this really great habit of, you know, so he reads the Bible every night and he reads a chunk every night. And I do it in the mornings, but if like Wednesday mornings, I get up really early and I go to prayer meetings. So I don't read the Bible on those mornings, or Sunday mornings, if I get up early.
Or someone needs you first thing in the morning.
Right. Exactly.
Without you.
He's much more consistent than I am anyway. But I mean, we have had some interesting conversations about, and especially in like the first 10 chapters of Isaiah, you know, what is God saying here? What are some of the beautiful things about it? Why is he saying that about that country? And so we're kind of just doing our faith kind of, it's almost like parallel play when your kids are little and they're just kind of playing. And then every once in a while, they kind of like, oh, you're playing the same thing as I am. Well, that's cool.
Love that. I love that. Okay, so you've got the concept of little habits. So we're sprinkling in a little bit. It's maybe it's a short little 1 minute devotion, or we're working on one verse, you know, a little bit. But I love in your book, you talk about how those little habits just naturally progress to big habits. So tell us how this can look in our families.
Well, I'll actually just use the example that I was just talking about. So with my son, when I don't know, he was like 13 years old or something. And I was thinking, you know, it's probably time for you to consider reading the Bible on your own. I mean, we all do it together also in the mornings, but you also need to develop your own relationship with God and read the things that you want to read. So I talked to him about that. And so he started out with just reading like a little section a day, I think. So instead of me reading it to him, he would just read it. And so that was, that's just a little thing, right? It probably would take him maybe a minute. I mean, it's not like he was diving really deep or anything. He was just getting into the habit of reading it daily on his own. And it took probably about a year for him to really, okay, I'm doing this. I don't need to be reminded. And then he's got a little journal, and I encouraged him, well, what if you also wrote down a question that you have for God, or wrote down a little prayer? And so every once in a while he's shown me, he's like, oh, you know, I wrote this little thing, or I wrote this little poem based on something that I read. And so now it's at the point where now he's reading. And like we were saying, like now he's keeping me accountable for my own reading. So these things, they grow. And even if they don't grow, God uses the little things in our lives, right? He can still do a lot with a little, but often they do grow quite naturally.
I love that.
Beautiful. Huh?
Love that. So let's kind of wrap up here, maybe with some encouragement, because you're a mom. I'm a mom.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there. There are days where you're screaming at them right before prayer time. And days where you're like, you know, so what encouragement would you give to some parents who maybe aren't yet discipling their kids like they would like to be?
Okay, well, I'll tell you a Bible story, a short one. Okay, so when the Israelites came back from exile, so they were kicked out of their country, God sent them into exile in Babylon, and they come back from exile and their country is not really their own anymore. And they're rebuilding the temple. They start to rebuild the temple and all the nations around them are like, whoa, you shouldn't rebuild the temple. And they actually write a letter to kind of the king of the world at that point. And they're like, they're rebuilding the temple. You should probably stop them. And so the Israelites go, okay, we'll stop building the temple right now. And they focus just on kind of their homes and repopulating the land. And then one night, a young priest named Zechariah, he gets a dream. And basically in the dream, God's like, start building my temple again. But here's how you got to do it. One stone at a time. You got to put on the first stone. And then he says, I actually have a postcard of this verse in the NLT. I love this. It says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And that's Zechariah 4:10 in the middle of this dream. Don't despise those small beginnings, because you got to start somewhere. And, you know, the temple was rebuilt one stone at a time. They just had to start. And this big faith can grow in your family too. You just have to start. So just start with something little and don't despise those small beginnings.
I love that.
How about you, Amber? What would you say?
Kind of like you, just to get started. The verse that I love, I passed out. I did a thing at church once and we passed out, rocks with it. It's, I always get the reference wrong. It's in Psalms. But it's, one generation shall commend the Lord's mighty deeds to the next. Guys, that's our goal. It's not this forced thing that we're supposed to do. All right, children, let's sit down and learn the Bible. Man, we should be feeling it and living it every part of our lives, from the intentional to the I play music while I wash the dishes part of my life, should be telling about how awesome God is. And so do that. Make that every part of your life, from you don't even think about it. It becomes that naturally, that it's just, that's who you are. That's what your family does. That's the goal. And there's going to be hiccups along the way. You're going to fail and feel like a failure as a parent, or be like, oh my gosh, we've not looked at the Bible in how long? But just do it. Teach your kids, live it out, because we're supposed to.
Exactly. And I would say, like, if you're trying to figure out where to start, I've often found that God kind of prods me in a certain area where I'm like, oh, I should be doing this. And so sometimes I'm like, well, is that, you know, guilt talking, or is that conviction talking? And but it's often like, you know, God's
just the same.
Reminding me, okay, let's take the next step here. Let's not be afraid of this. So if you're feeling like, oh, I feel bad that I'm not doing enough Bible memory verses, we'll talk to God about that and say, okay, God, this is probably from you, but I know that you don't want me to be living in this guilt. So what's something small that I can start doing at a kind of a natural time of day for our family, where we could start practicing just a single memory verse together, and just start with one little thing, start with where God is already kind of moving in your heart. And then just see where it goes. Cause he's going to continue to do that. He's going to keep leading you too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, you know, we have the Bible, we have what we need, but there are a lot of other resources that are good secondary. They're good helps. So if you guys are listening to this, reach out to Christy, reach out to me. If you're like, man, I would love something that's this, because quite frankly, between the two of us, we probably have seen almost everything on the market. So we can point you in some good directions. But as you're looking, I always want to caution people, make sure it aligns with God's word, just because it has the stamp of Christian on there, just because it's, you know, labeled in a Christian category, does not mean that it is accurately standing on God's word. I found that especially with picture books. Please use that's a whole nother podcast, but use discernment and make sure what you are bringing to your family has been vetted by you, that it lines up with the Bible. There's sub point two, equally as important as teach your kids. It's make sure you're teaching them God's word rightly.
Yeah. That's a good point. So can you tell us a little bit, where can we find you online?
Yes. I am everywhere. Amber
Pike.
Yeah, you can find me Amber Pike. I think on Instagram, I'm like Amber Pike 0292. I don't know. Just search Amber Pike. I'm not the reality star from Love is Blind, Amber Pike. She comes up first when you're Googling, but eventually you'll find me. You can go to amberpike.org to get to my blog or my website. It's got products that I make, links to all of my books. And we'll also link you back to Renewination, where I'm the church and family ministry coordinator. We've got something, if you serve in ministry, children's ministry specifically, there is a super duper 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 exciting book coming out called Intentional Children's Ministry. And it's all about how your church can disciple kids for a lifelong faith. It's coming out in January. So if you're serving in children's ministry, you definitely want to get a copy. It touches on family ministry too, because at Renewination, we are all about family ministry, family discipleship. We want moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas leading like God commanded. And we want to help the church be able to do that. So we have an online academy, all the things. Christy, where can we find you?
Oh, well, not as many places online. I am at littleshootsdeeproots.com and on Instagram at littleshootsdeeproots. And if you really need to be on Facebook, I think I'm at like Christy Thomas Little Shoots or something like that. But if you just go to
remember those handles.
I know. I you know, I rebranded and lost the ability to anyway. So just basically Little Shoots Deep Roots. If you go to my website, at the very bottom, there's some like links to my socials, so you can find me on there. Which my most recent website manager was like, you need to have these links on here. So they're there now.
So now they're there and everyone can find you easily. Littleshootsdeeproots.com.
Indeed.
All right. Well, Chrissy, thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for just, you make such cool stuff. You've got devotions for kids. You've got products for church leaders. Now you've got a must read for parents and church leaders. I'd say church leaders, you need to be reading this too, so that you are better equipped to minister to mom and dad. So thank you for the work that you're doing and for hanging out with me today. It was a very fun conversation.
Well, that was fun. And now I got to thank you as well, because I've appreciated this conversation. We're kind of like using this same conversation in two different spaces. So I really appreciated you created some fantastic resources as well, like your cookbook, devotional, and thank you for the work that you're doing with Renew a Nation, as well as what you're doing on your own. It's so important and so needed.
Well, friends listening, wherever you're listening, we will talk to you soon and enjoy your family discipleship journey.